This is Ken Lubin, the host and founder of the Executive Athletes Podcast, and welcome to this week's episode. I want to thank everyone that's been listening, and thank you for the comments and feedback. They're awesome and an incredible help in this journey to making this podcast better and better each episode. Once again, this is unscripted and unedited, as I believe it is the best way to get to really know the guest. Today's guest is Amy Stanton. Amy founded Stanton & Company, S&Co., with a passion for promoting and building positive female role models and messaging for women. Since 2006, when the company opened its doors, Stanton & Company has built a roster of philosophy-driven brands, including exceptional athletes, lifestyle experts, and brands in the healthy, active living space. Amy recently co-authored The Feminine Revolution with Catherine Connors, challenging the idea that femininity is weak and encouraging women to redefine and embrace their feminine qualities as sources of power. Amy speaks about femininity, marketing and representation, women in sports, and women's leadership. So Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So super excited to have you on. You've done some pretty cool stuff. I love your site and all your messaging, but tell us a little bit about who Amy is and how you got to where you are.
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, me too. So
I grew up in California, and then as quickly as humanly possible, moved to the East Coast for college, and then wanted to live in New York for what I thought was going to be a year. And ended up being 12, by the way. But I started in advertising, thinking that was a great sort of general entree to the business world, and quickly realized that what I love is building brands. And I worked in advertising for a number of years and really enjoyed that, but knew it was kind of the beginning, and then fell into the crazy job of director of marketing and communications for NYC 2012, which was New York's Olympic bid for 2012. And I remember a woman that I had worked for previously, Jane Gundell, called me and said, "Amy, this is the perfect job for you." And I said, "Jane, I don't understand how this could be the perfect job for me. I'm from Los Angeles, and I don't even think it's a good idea to bring the Olympics to New York. Plus, I know nothing about sports." And so turns out Jane was right, because it actually was the perfect job for me, and it opened up an entirely new world for me. And I fell madly in love with the broader concept and vision of the bid. And Dan Doctoroff, who was running the bid at the time, had such a huge concept for what was possible. And it really opened my eyes to, oh no.
That's okay.
Sorry, I don't even know how to turn that off.
The next thing will be my dog or kids fighting, so that's okay. A cell phone ringing's no issues.
Okay, thanks. I mainly just get political spam calls
right now, so I'm not right, really exactly. Sure what that is.
But I was really inspired by what Dan was trying to do, and plus it was right after 9/11, so it was a time when the city really needed something positive, and this represented the future potential of the city. And so suddenly I was fully immersed in all things New York and all things Olympics, and we ended up becoming a finalist, and our final presentation was really incredible, up against four of the biggest cities, the other four biggest cities in the world, and we lost to London. But it was an incredible experience, and that was my first experience working in sports in any capacity. And I remember years later going to some high school reunion and everybody going, "Wait, you work in sports?" Like, it was just such a foreign, it just was so against all odds that Amy Stanton was working in the sports world. I went from there to be the first chief marketing officer of Martha Stewart Living OmniMedia, which was incredible in so many ways. And Martha herself is such an inspiration. But the truth is, after working on New York's Olympic bid, I was super clear about the fact that what excites me is doing something that I feel can make change in the world. And so having an impact became fundamentally a part of how I thought about work. And I see that as a luxury, by the way. You know, I think my grandfather, who is my ultimate inspiration, and he was the patriarch of our family, his whole sole purpose was to make a living, to provide for the family. And we're so fortunate to even be able to think about working and doing something we love in order to make money. You know, that's just such a gift. So that was something though that stuck with me, and it was clear that there was a need for me to rethink. And so I'd been thinking about this crazy idea of building an agency focused on female athletes and women's sports, because at the time, and this was 14 years ago, most people couldn't even name one female athlete. And so at the same time, there was such a need for more positive female role models. And if you look at how radically the women's landscape has changed in the last 14 years, and specifically the women's sports space, it's pretty amazing. Still a long way to go, of course. But I started the business with a business partner for the first 2 years, and we were representing athletes, marketing, consulting in the women's sports space, events, content, all these things sort of laddering up to this broader concept of essentially what I would call a mini IMG, but focused on the women's side. The representation stuff took off because, of course, female athletes were like, oh my God, someone is actually thinking about us, because that was so foreign at the time. And since then, all the big agencies have actually built divisions focused on female athletes. So I take that as a compliment. But I really never wanted to be any sort of agent, to be totally honest with you, because I grew up in LA thinking that was a bad word. And sorry to all the agents listening. I felt like that was not on brand for me. And yet suddenly I was a sports agent. So, and we still to this day represent a number of incredible female athletes. And I actually love that part of my job. And we also represent a bunch of brands. And now the agency is more focused on the broader healthy, active living space. So not just female athletes and women's sports, but brands in natural foods, beauty, health and wellness, still fitness and sports, all geared towards, in some way, making a positive impact. I call them philosophy-driven brands. So brands that have a bigger idea than just selling a product. They're actually trying to help people live healthier lives or make the world more a greener place, or you name it.
No, and that's so important, right? Is in the growth of that, and I see it with my kids. I have a 12-year-old and 16-year-old girls, and many of the listeners know they both ski race. But what's pretty crazy is, you know, their role model, looking at like a Lindsey Vonn or Michaela Schifrin, where before that there was women in the World Cup winning overall titles, and no one ever knew who they were until, you know, now it's huge, right? And it's a big role model. And it's crazy to see you go to these races or you go to soccer games of how many more, there's actually more women playing sport now, or New England there are, it seems to be, than men. Ski races used to be dominated by men and there'd be only 10 or 15 women. And now there's more girls racing than there are boys. And it's a great thing to see.
That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, there's an expression which is, you need to see it in order to do it, you know? And so they're really, for a long time, people just didn't know it was possible. That's true in sports. It's true in certain professions. You know, we need to see women competing at the highest level or operating at the highest level in a certain industry in order to know that it's even a possibility, that it's even a path that we can take. And what I was so inspired by working on New York's Olympic bid, we worked with tons and tons of Olympic athletes, and I felt like Olympians in so many ways were the ultimate role models, because they are not just the best in the world at what they do, but they're also often great students and nice people, and they're family oriented and they want to make an impact in the world. This is not true for everyone, but really generally, I was just so wowed by how exceptional these human beings were. And I just wanted more people to know about them. So it's been fun, because one of my first clients was a woman named Gretchen Bleiler, and I really just lucked out. I mean, to be totally honest with you, she was the niece of my uncle's best friend. And my uncle said, oh, would you have any interest in meeting Gretchen Bleiler? She just won the silver medal at the Torino Olympics. I said, I'd love to meet her. Now, I had literally never seen snowboarding, period, right, except on the mountain, but never had watched a snowboard contest. And suddenly I'm sitting with Gretchen and we have this meeting, which I think is going to be informational. But then I walked out of the meeting and realized I was actually representing her. It was so insane. And she really became the face of women's snowboarding, because not only was she the best in the world, but she was also a good person and beautiful and articulate, and she was extremely marketable, and she was very interested in helping advance environmental causes. So there were so many ingredients to work with, and I didn't approach it as a typical quote unquote agent because I didn't know that anything really about that. So I was helping build her brand, and it was really a fun, wild ride. And suddenly I became an expert in women's action sports, which was against all odds, but pretty incredible. And, you know, yeah, it was a really fun time to be doing that also, because it was at the time a really big growth category, and it was super creative, and both in terms of the sport itself and the marketing and the brands around that sport. And it's fun. It's like you look back on stuff and realize what a gift it is to have had those moments, and you don't necessarily appreciate it as much in the moment, but you definitely do when you can give it some perspective.
Now, how are you seeing, you know, you're like you said, you're still representing women, you're still representing the growth of sport. How are you seeing it? Number one, the growth of women in sport. Number two, the whole category of that as well. It's becoming, seems to be becoming bigger and bigger all the time.
Yeah. I mean, one thing leads to another. And for a while, you know, again, there's still a long way to go. I don't want anyone to think that.
No, not at all.
That we're there. But even your anecdotal example of seeing higher participation is a great one. You know, obviously a lot of it comes down to visibility. So actually around, I don't even know now, 11 years ago, I helped build the very first ESPNW Women in Sports Summit, and I executive produced that for 7 years. And it was amazing. I'd never really produced an event like that before. And suddenly I was in charge of this conference, but it was great because I really did have a unique perspective on the women's sports landscape. And there's this really passionate group of advocates for women's sports that didn't really have a forum, and ESPNW was born to really service that group. And it's pretty remarkable what happens when you get all the people that care deeply about something together and give them tools to actually make change. So I think that's been a piece of the pie too, is the media landscape shifting to support women. I mean, obviously, when it comes down to sort of dollars and cents and marketability and whether a female basketball player will be paid comparable sponsorship fee to a male basketball player, no, they won't, because they don't have the same kind of visibility. That, you know, it comes down to how many people are watching them compete in their sport, and then how much additional exposure do they have beyond that? And that helps determine what the paycheck looks like. And the truth is, there's still a long way to go. There's sports like tennis where right, women really are on the same playing field. And, you know, most of the prize purses are the same. As far as I know, everyone is actually in tennis. And so that's great. And it's a great role model. And women's soccer has really made huge strides for the broader women's sports space. And then you see other sports like women's hockey fighting the good fight. But it's still a fight, you know, and it's not like, again, as a business person, I can say there's no reason why a sponsorship deal should look the same for this athlete and this athlete if their visibility isn't the same. You know, I understand the nuance and the way we need to think differently about how we're marketing female athletes versus male athletes, because, and honestly, I think female athletes have to work harder in many ways, because no one cares if a male athlete is well-groomed and handsome, but people care about female athletes looking a certain way and presenting a certain way. And, you know, and I always say to the athletes we work with, I think it's worth doing as many things as you can to build your brand, even if that means doing things sometimes for free, because not everything for free, obviously, but sometimes it makes sense because it's relationship building or help, you know, one person sees you in this environment and suddenly that leads to a paid opportunity. And so we have to get creative. You know, I never entered the women's sports space because I thought it was going to be easy. I'm certainly aware of the fact that it's not. I mean, everybody said I was crazy from the very beginning, and I see now why they said that. You know, it's not the easiest business to build, but I do really see the potential and the growth and the trajectory, and that's super exciting.
If it was easy, it wouldn't be fun, right?
So exactly.
There's no journey to the, the finish line's there, but the journey is not any fun. And I think that's what makes this stuff, you know, makes it exciting. Same thing in my day job, I'm a headhunter and I talk to a lot of people, and it's, you have to realize that you're marketing yourself, right? You need to be a personal brand. No longer does it matter if you worked at IBM or went to Harvard or anything like that. You're as good as your last blog post, or you're good as your last, you know, app that you developed, or as good as your last deal. And business, sports, everything. And that's, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, that's the world we're in, right? The world of instant gratification. But I think as an athlete, as a woman, as a, you know, as anyone, you have to look at yourself as a personal brand. And maybe I'm wrong, but as a marketing person, you know, I'm sure, I don't know if you feel that way or not.
Absolutely. I mean, I consider myself a brand builder. So if I didn't see these athletes as brands, then I'd be in the wrong place. But I do feel like some people go into that with open arms and say, yes, I'm up for it. And others just want to focus on their sport and win. And by the way, that's important too. So I think it's really, whether we think it's quote unquote fair or not, I do think that female athletes who also want to be super marketable have to think big picture about all the different ways in which they can capitalize on the opportunity. And we're here to help facilitate that and help guide them. And, you know, it's, I think the part that I like the most about the representation, in addition to the being creative about how to build someone's brand, is the relationship itself, because it's working with women's really different from working with men. And we've worked with a few male athletes over the years as well, and I've enjoyed that too, but women, it's a different dynamic and it's a different energy that they bring to this kind of relationship. And you see different kinds of challenges. Like, women just generally have a harder time asking for what we want. And I'm perfectly comfortable saying that, because I can easily ask for what I want on behalf of someone else, but it's definitely not as easy for me to do that even for myself. And I negotiate for a living, you know? But I will say that a lot of the athletes that we work with, I feel like I'm fighting for them, but not in an aggressive way. You know, I mean, even as a female agent, I have to be sensitive to the fact that I wrote a whole book about this actually, but there's a nuance to the way we communicate as women, and we have certain gifts and certain ways of being that may have been perceived as weak or negative, and we have to learn how to use our superpowers. So, you know, I feel inspired to do that on behalf of these amazing women. And every time I realize that I'm doing something for them that they cannot do for themselves, and I really believe in them, that's what keeps me going. That's what fires me up for sure.
No, and taking a look at your website, I saw that you know, one of your clients is Winter Vanecki, and we had her actually speak. I put on an event up in Vermont a few years ago in 2014 called the 431 Project, which was with the guys over at Spartan that were trying, you know, healthy is the new normal. And we're really focused on the next generation. And we had her speak, and it was unbelievable, right? You know, her story is phenomenal, but it's probably, you leave just listening to her. And that time she was like 14 or something crazy like that. And you're like, wow, I just got inspired by a 12 or 14 year old. And it was the coolest thing ever.
Mm, I know. I love that. I mean, yeah, Winter is really remarkable, and it's a perfect example of how there are all these untold stories and people that we would never normally have access to. And some of those are the most inspiring and most, in some ways, overwhelming. And yet they're the hardest to get out there, because again, the visibility perpetuates more visibility. So one of the things I remember in the very beginning when I started the business, I was like, well, if I'm inspired by this person, then I should represent them, because I will be able to tell their story and get other people excited about it. And if I'm excited, others will be. But you know what? It's not that simple. And I've had to, over the years, become a lot more rigorous about the choices we make, because there's nothing I hate more than working with someone and not being able to do what I've set out to do. And sometimes, you know, we'll take a chance on someone and have clear expectations. Like, we don't know what's possible either. Like, we're working with an Olympic athlete, for example, and it's too close to the Olympics, and most of the Olympic deals have already been done. So we have to say, look, we're willing to give this a shot because we think you're amazing, your story's incredible, but we don't know what's possible. And then there are other times where we're working with someone that there's clear path in terms of what needs to be done and what can be done, and things are a little more straightforward. But as you said, in some ways, it's the challenges that are the most interesting and the most fun and the most rewarding. So each case is totally unique. And, you know, there's not a one size fits all approach. And every sport I've worked with has been a sport I knew nothing about.
That's perfect. That's even better. Theme. It's, yeah, actually, it's because there's no bias, right? I do the
so
same
true.
Thing. I actually, people are like, you know, can you do this executive search? And they're like, you don't know anything about the industry. I'm like, that's even better, because I'm not going to have any bias to the industry and to these people, and that these biases you may or may not have, I don't have, and I can represent you way better. So no, I'm right cool. there with you.
Yeah, it's true. You bring a different energy to it for sure. I can see that in your field for sure. And also, and in ours, you know, I just, anytime someone's like, well, you don't have experience in this one sport, I like, in my mind, I'm like, well, that couldn't be less relevant in terms of what's going to be doable. But also, you know, the industry is changing so much. And I remember when I first started the business, part of what I was actually responding to was the fact that, like, reality stars were our role models. You know, that was the age of Paris Hilton. Again, if she's listening, you know, I know Paris is... has done
she's a big subscriber. Yeah, she funds all of it. Yeah.
So yeah. We won't get too deep into the Paris conversation, but at the time I remember thinking, this is just so bizarre what the world has come to, that more people know who these contestants on The Bachelorette are than they do, like, the best female fencer in the world, as an example, you know, and not, again, you know, to each their own. But it was, now what it's about is influencers, and everyone's an influencer. And all you really need is Instagram followers to be an influencer. But I'm committed, because we also represent, in addition to athletes, a number of doctors and lifestyle experts and yogis and other folks who have really meaningful, valuable content and training to offer. So I sort of have a personal mission around elevating these voices and these people. And in the health space, it's a really important piece, because you realize everybody is sharing health information. And then we should all be more rigorous about making sure that we're seeking health information from true experts, you know, not just buying the product because this bikini model is using it, you know? I mean, again, I don't know.
No, I'm right there with you.
Bikini models, but it's
No, you're not taking health advice, you know, from the 300-pound guy, right? That, you know, all of a sudden lost 100 pounds because he ate keto. I'm still not, you know, that's not health advice to me, right? And yeah. I see that you have, you know, Dr. Hyman on is, you know, and it's, I've actually seen him speak. He actually prepared food in the event I was at a couple of years ago, and it was phenomenal. And his stuff is so spot on, because number one, he's got the credibility. Number two, it makes sense. And number three, he walks the walk and talks the talk.
Exactly. I mean, he's so well studied and obviously has incredible experience, and he's just the real deal. I mean, he's a good example of someone who has an enormous platform and tremendous influence and fully has earned that. And I feel really proud to work with people like Dr. Hyman. And I think, you know, there's so many people who would like to be Dr. Hyman. And those, we work with a number of other doctors who may not be at his level, but that have tremendous credibility because of the work that they've done. And so similarly, those are people I'm really proud to elevate, and we have to work hard to get those voices out there, because they're truly useful to people, you know. And no one people have never cared as much about health as they do right now. So it's actually a really great time to be working with people in this healthy, active living space. And, you know, athletes for so many represent the ultimate in high performance living. So they are great ambassadors for products in the health and wellness space, because if they're using them, especially Olympic athletes, I mean, they're, because of the frequency of drug testing, you know, they're using really clean products, and they are only going to put the best stuff in their bodies. Doesn't mean it's always the case, but I do think it's a good path for anyone looking to sponsor athletes. Let's talk. But I do feel like they, you know, as someone who has a little bit more of a sort of big picture view on it, we work with a number of brands on the PR side, and we have influencer programs for them. And we, when it makes sense, we're always bringing athletes into those influencer programs, because they are, again, legitimate influencers for all the right reasons.
No, and they're walking the, like you said, walking the walk, talking the talk. They're putting the best stuff in their bodies in order to perform the best. And I think, you know, and now it's, I think, you know, myself, I feel you see these people everywhere, right? And I think maybe that's happening in the market because I'm attuned to it and see it, but even my kids are seeing it, or my wife is seeing it. And I think it's such an important piece of what has been missing for so long, and what typical, you know, food companies out there have been selling to us. And it's, and right now it's more important than ever, right? One of the things I actually was just talking to, I did a post about, instead of focusing on the vaccine, why don't we focus on exercise, eating healthy, and getting out in the sun and building our immune systems? And that gets so, you know, everyone's looking for instant gratification from a vaccine, but, you know, well, go build your immune system and you're going to be much better off fighting it, because who knows if the vaccine's going to work at all or not anyways.
It's so true. I mean, we're, that, again, I feel like I'm in the right place at the right time, because we work with brands like Four Sigmatic, which is a functional mushroom brand by at heart, but now it's about elevated living. And they make all these really breakthrough products, that many of which actually do have immune boosting functions. So because mushrooms like chaga, I don't know if you're familiar with chaga.
Oh, yeah,
you should be. Oh, good. Okay. Oh, you're a chaga user. I mean, you have your own CrossFit gym, so I'm not surprised that you're aware of chaga. But definitely find that we're getting a lot more traction on the PR side with the brands that are can speak to immunity or general health and wellness. And we're working with a CBD brand called Lixanol, and they have these products that are like literally made for this time, this day and age, where one is called Stressless. I mean, has there ever been a time when people have been stressing more? I don't think so. And another is Good Night. Have people been having this much trouble sleeping? I don't think so. But they're like really, you know, again, innovative, because they're CBD combined with other products. And it's cool to see, because I think in the end, we're gonna have a lot more educated consumers as a result of the fact that people are digging in on the health front. You know, people are taking this more seriously because they know it's the only thing they have control of. Like, literally. I mean, do we have control of anything else other than taking care of ourselves right now?
No, not at all. Exactly. Right. And people are, and we're talking about the whole gym thing, and I was, you know, fortunate that I did that, because it's always just been a lifestyle of mine, but it's always, do burpees for 5 minutes, right? Or do burpees for, if people like, I don't have time, or I don't have a gym to go to, I guarantee you, you can't do burpees for 5 minutes straight, or push-ups for 5 minutes straight, or air squats for 5 minutes straight. If you can, send me a note. Any of the listeners, tell me. And I want to know how many you did, because there'll be a big, we'll do a chart and see, because I know what my 5 minute burpees are, and we'll see, we'll compare it to everyone else's.
I'm pretty good with like 30 seconds of burpees, and then from that point, and I can do like that times four, but not in a row.
No, but so, what's crazy about it is the excuse is out the window, right? You can pull this stuff off in your house, on the floor, next to your desk, in your chair, right? That's, and that's what it is. And if people say they don't have time, well, that's all they have right now is time. So embrace it and become healthy.
I am so with you on that. It's really, again, the one thing we have the ability to impact right now.
Yeah, that and wine, but that's
also healthy in a different way.
Exactly. So how did you get into this business, right? You were talking about, you know, the New York Olympic Committee thing, but then you moved into the health and wellness space, the athlete space. Where did you see the void? Was it just women in sports? Was it other angles into it? Because it's what you're doing is fascinating.
Thank you. I mean, again, it started as a recognition that the female athletes themselves weren't getting any visibility and that nobody knew anything about women's sports. And that coupled with a desire to help promote more positive female role models. And then the reason it evolved the way it did after the first couple of years is because I think of my own personal interest and passion. And I realized that female athletes and women's sports was one sliver of this broader, healthy, active living space. And again, I'm a marketer and brand builder. So the minute we started doing more marketing and PR for brands, I was actually doing the things I knew how to do that I was trained to do. But really, PR is very interesting right now, because in the olden days when I was working in advertising, we'd be sitting around the table and the ad agency would come up with some big campaign concept and then all the other pieces would fall from there. So Kodak, for example, one of the brands I worked on, would come up with I'm not sure it's still around, to be honest, it's so sad, but would start with a big campaign idea, and then the PR agency would activate around that, and then the direct marketing agency would activate around that, and the digital piece would come from that. Now PR is a driver. So because brands have to be more efficient with budgets, every single campaign we do goes, it doesn't make any sense to spend money on marketing that can't be amplified through public relations. And so it's made the PR space so much more interesting, because PR is a brand builder now, and it includes, yes, media relations at the heart. So how do we get as much earned media coverage as possible, but also influencer engagement and experiential marketing and partnerships with brands and other individuals, ambassadors, you name it. So I think it's fun, because it's kind of the ultimate in terms of the evolution of the marketing world. Plus, going back kind of to the athlete piece, what's so cool about we can all say whatever we want about social media and its sort of long-term impact on our mental health, which I think is yet to be determined. But what is really cool about it is now athletes or influencers or even brands can engage with their consumers in a much more direct way, in a very measurable way, through social media. And I think that's the most powerful part of it, truthfully, in that we're able to create a more personal relationship. You can see the behind the scenes of an athlete in terms of the way they're living their lives, and you know, that they're just sitting on their couch like a regular person watching TV on the weekend, versus having this kind of either total fantasy about what their life is like. Now, granted, some people just project only the very best, most magical moments on Instagram. But you're, for those who are willing to share, you're able to get a much bigger picture sense of like who this person is and what they care about, which is what really people care about ultimately. I think in terms of long-term relationship building, you know, seeing some of the behind the scenes, seeing the more vulnerable moments, having a clear sense of what this person actually cares about besides their sport or yoga or whatever they do. So I think it's pretty interesting. It'll be interesting to see where it all goes.
No, and it's a great time for it as well. So no, you're doing great things. But Amy, we're coming up here on 35 minutes. I'm sure you're busy. I'll let you get back to it. You're 3 hours behind us here on the East Coast. I have to go and shovel pretty soon, which is the craziest thing ever.
There's no shoveling in Venice Beach right now.
Yeah, there's shoveling. Sand. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, October 30th, I got to go shovel, which is unbelievable. And they actually just plowed. I can't believe it. They're actually plowing the roads is what's happening. But where can people find out more about what you're up to? Where are you? Your website? Tell us a little bit about that so, you know, they can check you out.
Sure. So our website is stanton-company.com. And our Instagram is Stanton Company. And then my personal Instagram is Amy K. Stanton. And if you're interested in checking out my book, it's called The Feminine Revolution, and you can buy it on Amazon or anywhere. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are other ways to find me.
Right.
That's more than enough.
Those are the main ones. And I'll post that stuff too, so people can reach out or check out what you're up to. But Amy, it's been an honor. I want to thank you for being part of this. I love your insight and what you're doing, and, you know, seize the present the best you can. So it was awesome to have you on.
Thank you so much for including me. And I hope that you have a wonderful day and good luck with the shoveling.
Exactly. And if anyone has any questions, comments, feedbacks, concerns, feel free to reach out to me at kenandexecutiveathletes.com. But make sure you're out there crushing it every day, staying sane, staying in shape, and eating some good food. Have a great weekend. Bye.